Blog Talk Radio.
And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
Amen. Welcome to the Remnant Call. I'm not sure exactly what was happening to that with this evening, but praise the Lord, we're here tonight anyways with you and just glad to be here. My name is Brother Frank, and guest host tonight, Brother Todd. Can you say hello this evening?
Well, hello to everybody out there.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're just glad to have everyone here this evening. And we're excited. We like the Remnant Call. It's an opportunity for us to be able to reach out to the world, the remnant around the world. And folks, if you haven't noticed lately, there is definitely a crisis. There's a crisis in hearing the word. There's a crisis in people feeling like they're getting fed. There's just a crisis of faith, period, in the United States, especially. And if there was ever a time where God's people need to unite, it is now. This is definitely the time when we need to unite. So anyways, if with that in mind, I'm going to ask Brother Todd, if you would mind just opening us up this evening with a word of prayer.
Certainly. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for watching over us all the way up until today, Lord, keeping us all safe. Lord, I pray for those who have been struck with illness, with loss in the family or injury or any other calamity that may befall any of your saints. Lord, I pray that you give us all strength and that you provide us with the wisdom that we need to make it through this life. While staying step in step with you, Lord. We beg that you come into this place and you help us as we develop this radio show today, as we speak into these mics, that only your words will come forth and that you will open up the hearts of those on the other receiving end so that their hearts may be softened so that your Holy Spirit may enter. And in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Todd. And I'm just happy to be here. It's been one of those weeks, and we all have one of those weeks. It seems like one of those weeks happens more often than they don't happen.
Yeah.
And it's been a busy week, but God has still blessed. And, you know, it's so easy to get discouraged this hour, especially when we see what's going on in the world. When we see what's going on in the churches, the way we get treated many times by our own family members, our friends, and those who we consider fellow believers. And it's easy to get discouraged. And so my prayer tonight, along with Todd's prayer, is that as we dig into this topic of tapping the oil reserves, that God will somehow stimulate something in you to dig deep and to get close to him. Because I'm hoping as we dig into this tonight that you might see something that you've never seen in God's word before. There was in ancient belief three types of understanding. There was the superficial, The literal, not the superficial, but the literal meaning. When you read the Word of God, what is the literal meaning to it? And then there was what we call the spiritual application. How does this apply to your life? How does this apply to the world? How does this apply to your circumstances, your relationship with God? But then there was another level of understanding, and that was the rhema word. Hmm. What was underneath? What was hiding beneath that spiritual, beneath that surface? What was the deep underlying word that God reveals through His Spirit to us? And so tonight I'm hoping that we're going to get into a word that's revealed by the Spirit of God. And I hope when you see what we're talking about tonight, that this will open you up to start reading the Bible in a different way. Because when you begin to read the word in a way that you begin to pray and you begin to not just read so as just like a passing, but actually look at what God's saying, view the different points of view. I remember one time a guy said to me that he had realized that when he was reading words coming from God, when he was reading words of Him speaking from the throne, to remember to turn himself in God's position and to look back towards us.
Huh.
It shines a different light on the word. Many times we hear God speaking and saying something and we're looking towards Him. But try putting yourself in His position, looking back at the world, and see how the word looks when He's speaking. It might change your view on a few things.
Yeah, that'll definitely make you think a little bit harder about perceiving the message.
Absolutely.
I can agree with that.
Amen. And so tonight, the topic of tonight's program is called Tapping the Oil Reserves. And so this is going to be a great program. And it's not because it's going to be great for me, but it's going to be great because we're going to dig into some awesome, awesome words and from the Bible. And so let's go ahead and get started. You know, there's so much stuff out here going on with, you know, the elections and, you know, the elections now, which have been consuming, they've kind of masked many of the other problems that are going on in the world right now, because everybody is worried whether Donald Trump's going to win, whether Hillary Clinton's going to win. And folks, it doesn't matter because it's not going to be good either way. It doesn't really matter. And so God has ordained that when, as we learned last week in the Sign of Lot, if you didn't hear that program, go into the archives, listen to the Sign of Lot, as we learned how that sign is literally screaming at this day and age of the hour we're living in and how literally close we are now to the Lord's return. And I don't care how much you want to get up there, even Donald Trump, the head of the Republican Party, I don't care how much you say that you embrace the things of God. When you are still embracing acts that are vile to God,
right,
you can ask for His blessing all you want. You can say, God bless America, but if you're killing unborn babies, if you're, you know, supporting these unnatural acts of sexuality and unlawful things, then how can you expect God's blessing? You know, I mean, basically, it should be, you know, instead of one nation under God, it should be one nation in God's name only, because we really don't, we're not under Him. We just do it in name only.
Right.
So we kind of like the seal. We like the name, but we really, our hearts are far from Him.
But don't forget, there's still a movement to get rid of that whole phrase.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're so confused this day and age. We just don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, just like the Bible said, we're calling good evil and evil good.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we are at that moment. And so if you remember back, it was just a few years ago, if you remember, this country was in an absolute oil crisis. It was $113 for a barrel of oil. I think that was back in just like 2009 or so, or 2010. Oil was just skyrocketed, and the national average was $3.55 a gallon of gas. And so, I mean, it was horrible. I mean, I can remember it was painful filling up at the tank. And then magically, all of a sudden, wow, the oil prices fall down. And so, folks, it doesn't really matter. The world elites decide when the oil goes up and when the oil goes down. Now, I do admit there is times when conflicts in nations in certain areas do disrupt, But by and large, they make the decisions of when things are going to go up and when they're going down. They proved that in the 70s, there was not really a gas crisis like they said it was. It was, you know, things were being manufactured. They were dumping in fields. And so, you know, they at a moment's notice, we could be back at $113 a gallon of oil or more. It, just like that, in no time at all. And so I remember at the time the crisis was is that how much we actually had in our oil reserves. And so in order to try to ease some of the things, because there were some instabilities in the Middle East and in Libya, so the president was going to release so many barrels of oil from the oil reserve to try to help ease the tension. Well, come to find out at the time, we had about 725 million barrels of oil in our oil reserve. Now we've got about roughly around 700 million when I just read recently here. And so that's going to be roughly about, if we were to go at full consumption, roughly about 30 couple days worth of oil. And if you were to try to stretch it out and cut back, we may be able to get a couple of months out of it. But what I'm getting at, it wouldn't take long.
No.
Before this country would be an absolute oil crisis. If we were to go to a battle,
right,
with the Middle East, and they were to cut off the supply line,
right
now, and because we refuse to tap our own oil and we refuse to go to our own natural resources,
yeah,
we have to rely on other countries. But in one moment and in one conflict, everything could be turned upside down, and our measly little barrels of oil wouldn't last anything. You know, the children of Israel left out of Egypt. The Bible says that they spoiled the Egyptians, okay? They gave them everything they needed. They left out loaded every single supply you can need. And only with like 3 days, they were already crying to go back to Egypt.
Yeah.
So you see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't take long before this nation could be in crisis, and we will fight more wars over oil, and there will be more trouble with oil because we are so trapped in this oil to run as a nation. No matter how much you want to talk about, you know, solar energy and all that stuff, the fact is the technology still just not there enough, and so we are dependent upon oil. And the point I'm trying to make here is that we have to have oil to run every day. And so if our enemies truly wanted to do us in, if they truly wanted to mess us up, they could pull the plug on the oil. Russia,
yes,
could pull the plug. The Middle East, they could tie together and, you know, and bond together and decide to pull the plug. And we would be in a serious crisis, and our country would literally collapse in no time. That's not even talking about our economy.
Right.
When you can't ship things because there's no oil, when you can't buy stuff because there's nothing being shipped and there's no electricity being produced in certain things, there would be a serious crisis.
Yeah.
And so in America, we need a lot of oil, whether we need it or whether you like it or not, we need it. And if we don't get it, our lives will stop. Our comforts will end quickly. And we are fully dependent on the world to keep us going. And our strategic reserve is so limited, it cannot sustain us. But when I look at this, I realize, what about the church? How does this parallel what's going on in God's church today?
Huh.
What about God's people? I mean, I realize that there is such a parallel between these two things going on today in the world and in God's church. We also, as believers, are dependent upon oil, as believers. Not the same type of oil that the world depends on. We're dependent upon the oil of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we don't have it, we cannot sustain a relationship with God. See, the president says we have a reserve for this country to tap into. But what about the believers today? What happens if our oil stops flowing?
Yeah.
Do we have anything to tap into?
You know, so that's a really good question.
Tonight, with that introduction, I want to dig into 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, because I believe that this well-known story has such a depth in it that if you will allow it to apply to your life, it'll change everything. This is a life-changing story we're going to go into tonight. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. Brother Todd,
yeah,
I'm going to ask if you could open up and read verse 1 for me there.
Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be the bondmen."
Okay, so this woman is facing a problem that many people are facing in this country. Maybe even some people that are listening to this program. You're in debt. And you don't have a thing to pay it with. This woman is so broke. She cannot afford it. That the only thing that can pay for it is her two sons being taken into slavery. And no mother wants to give their children up to slavery.
No.
And so she comes to Elisha and tells him what's going on. Verse 2. If you could.
And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil."
Okay. All right. Again, she's so broke. Okay.
Right.
She only thing she has left in her house is some oil.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
This woman's got nothing. As she said, this one guy I heard him say one time, he wasn't just poor. He was poe.
Poe.
He couldn't afford to be poor. He was Poe. This woman's Poe. Sorry, didn't mean to get sidetracked there. But she's broke.
Right.
And so verse 3 and 4.
Then he said, "Go borrow these vessels abroad of thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full."
We read through this so quickly sometimes, but you kind of wonder what's going through her mind right now.
Yeah.
He's saying, okay, you're broke. You have nothing. I would like you to go borrow nothing.
Right.
Empty pots.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to put something out of nothing. I'm going to take your little something and I'm going to make a whole lot of something.
Wow.
I mean, I wonder what her thought process is right now.
Right.
Is this guy crazy?
Well, you also have to remember that she was a wife of a prophet, so she's probably seen some crazy things. I don't know. Not much was mentioned about him, so it's hard to.
She's still human. You got to believe that
right.
Something. This is a hard thing to handle. So in verse 6 and 7, if you could read that.
Okay. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest."
Wow.
That must have been a lot of oil. It said, sell it and pay your debt and then live off of the rest.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's take a deep look at this. The story I find is very interesting because in a way it starts out it really does start out in the right direction. Here's a woman in verse 1. There cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and that the creditors is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." So here, this lady, she's broke, but her husband was a man of God. I don't know how all the debt got piled up in their family, but she comes to Elisha and reminds, "Look, you know my husband, that he did fear the Lord."
Right.
And so she's in crisis. And what I like about it is she does show us one thing. When you're in trouble, who do you go to?
Well, who you're supposed to go to, or who do you actually go to?
Well, who you're supposed to go to, because here she goes to Elisha. Now, Elisha's a prophet. He actually is God's representative right there at that moment to the people. He speaks on behalf of the Lord. Yeah. Okay, he's not God, but he speaks on God's behalf many times.
Right.
And so she really, what she's doing is she's in a crisis and she goes to God. Well, she goes to a servant.
Right.
It's the same thing. And that's what we do. If we're truly in crisis, the first place we have to turn to is God.
Yes. Yes.
Is God. And so here Elisha says to her, you know, what shall I do for thee? You know, and I find interesting, God saying, you remember, if you'd only ask it in my name, right?
Right.
That which you shall ask in my name. And so this is the same thing like, God, what should I do? What do you need?
Right.
You know, and so tell me what thou hast in thou house. So he tells her, you know, she says, look, I've only got this little bit of oil. And I find it interesting that she had only a pot of oil left.
Oh.
Now, we see a lot of people who are far from God.
Right.
And sometimes you wonder, how can I reach somebody, right?
Yeah.
And God said, though, there was something that he gave to every person. Do you remember what that was?
A portion of the Holy Spirit?
A measure of faith, right? Yes. Yeah, a portion. That's right. He gave every person a measure. So even though that you're down everything, even though, you know, that person might look unreachable, remember, there's always a measure of oil there. A little bit. There's a measure left. Even at the worst, those who are down in their lowest, there will always be a measure there.
Yes.
And so there's that measure there. And so Elisha says to her, look, I want you to go out and get some empty vessels. Don't just borrow a few, okay? Go find as many pots as you can. And so she goes out, they find their children, they find all the pots that they can find, they bring them in the house, and Elisha says, I want you to do one more thing. He says, go in and shut the door.
Yes.
And when you shut the door, then begin to pour out into all those vessels. So there was a condition for this oil to begin to flow. She had to shut the door.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You remember Jesus said, seek me in private. That, you know, seek
oh,
me,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so go into the closet. Those who seek me in private, I shall reward them openly.
Yes.
Right? You remember that?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So here she's saying, I want you to get alone with me. And Jesus says the same thing, that he wants us to get alone with God. Because when you get alone with God, the oil begins to flow freely in your life.
Hmm.
Have you ever experienced that before, Todd?
Why, of course. I mean, you know, maybe not to the abundance that's mentioned here, but yeah, you know, as you get alone with God and as you pray, sure. I'm still dealing with the blessings from when that's happened to me. The main blessing that I found is that whenever I feel like my faith is faltering, and I go and I get on my knees and I pray, I always come out refreshed, recharged, ready to go. Maybe not, you know, you don't feel like Superman or anything like that, but you have enough faith to keep on moving on. And I feel like over time, God is filling up my pots with the Holy Spirit, with oil. You know, it's not in 1 hour or in 1 day as suggested here, but over time, as I do it more, yes, I can say that, yes, my vessel is being full or being filled in the process of being filled. So, you know, it is what a wonderful joy to be able to go and be alone with God. And what a simple thing. You know, it makes me wonder why she didn't do this in the first place before Elisha even showed up. Because she said that her husband was a man of God. So surely she would have known that to pray and to deliver her fears to the Lord behind closed doors, get in her prayer closet. But sometimes you're just in that kind of tragedy where you don't even know what to do. That's what I'm noticing here. Sometimes things are just so stressful that our flesh gets in the way. And God loves us, and God always sends us a way out, just
Absolutely.
Like Elijah was for this woman.
Absolutely. And the reason I'm bringing this out, because we're going somewhere with this here, is that when Jesus said that when thou prayest, thou don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. It's the same principle. Elisha's saying here, if you want the oil to flow, right?
Yeah.
If you want to get filled with the Spirit, same thing when he's talking about in Matthew 6 and when he's talking about fasting also. He says, don't fast and be like the hypocrites. They love everybody to see that their faces are disfigured because they're fasting. He says, but instead, anoint your head, wash your face, don't look like you're fasting, don't show everybody what you're doing, do it in secret, and your Father, what you do in secret, shall reward you openly. And so here he's saying, if you want the oil to begin to flow, you got to get alone with God.
Yeah.
Folks, there are so many people, they're living right now, they're in the church, they're in the belief, and they're like, my life is so dried up. I don't feel anything with God. And if you will openly examine your heart, and you'll be honest with yourself and say, am I getting alone with God? Am I doing what God's asking me to do? Because I don't feel the Spirit. And God's saying, well, if you're not getting alone with me, how is the oil going to flow?
Right.
I can't let it flow because you have no relationship with me.
Right.
You have no walk with me.
Yes.
It was like a few weeks ago when we talked about the knowledge of good and evil. When they got away from God, they began to open their ear up to the enemy.
Yes.
When we are not spending time with God, the Spirit cannot flow freely in us because we get it all, our spirits, our bodies, all our minds all filled up with other stuff that doesn't belong to God, and our bodies are a temple under the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That is absolutely right. And you know, one thing that I failed to mention that I realize is that, you know, we know we're all born in sin. So, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong in this analogy, but I feel like we come out on the losing side already. We come out swinging. We come out in the river paddling against the stream, because you know I'm not saying that, you know, it's impossible. What I'm saying is that because of the sin of Adam and Eve, we now have that knowledge of good and evil. We now have that sinful nature, which we have to get past. If you hang on with me for a second, you are a being. You're somebody who God loves and he cherishes. However, the very essence of you was born in something that he can't necessarily tolerate, but he loves you. So without getting too far out there, it's easy for us to become distracted because I guess, as I heard a pastor say, in our carnal hearts, we hate the word of God.
Mm.
We would never say that. No, no good pretend Christian would actually ever say that. We would just show it in very
subtle
ways, you know. But we actually hate the word of God. That's why it's so easy to get carried away with watching way too much TV over reading your Bible or doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing. It's easy to get snagged in that direction, but it seems so hard to be pulled in the direction of spending some alone time with your Creator. I mean, I hope that clarifies it a little bit.
Absolutely. I agree. You've got to get alone with God. You've got to get, folks, we have to get into our prayer closets. We're trying to fight a battle. And when you fight a battle without prayer, you're fighting a losing battle. You yes. cannot be on the front line if you are not on your knees in your prayer closet. And so here he's saying it will begin to flow. But this is the interesting part. It says that after she shut the door and said, you know, get alone with God, and you shall begin to pour out into the vessels and then set aside that which is full. And so it says she went from him in verse 5 and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her sons, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. So this is the interesting part to this story. When she got alone with God, the oil began to flow. And as long as they kept bringing empty vessels, the oil kept flowing, right?
Wow.
But when they no longer were bringing empty vessels, when they hit the last one,
yeah,
the oil stayed.
Huh.
Now, here's the interesting point to that. When we reach out,
amen,
to share this good news with other people,
amen,
when we are looking for empty vessels, for people to share this word of God with, to share this good news of Jesus, the oil will continue to flow. But when you stop reaching out, when you stop looking for empty vessels, when you see, God wants to fill you up so he can pour out into someone
That's
else.
That's right. That's right.
You might be the only Jesus someone ever gets to know. Because they see his character in you. They may never see it in anybody else. And so God wants to use you to reach others. But when you stop doing outreach, when you stop – so this is the problem we have in the so-called remnant community today, folks. And I want to be honest with you. And there's a lot of people today. They've come out of the church. They're separate. They're everything. But they've withdrawn into these monks, okay? And they have no one to fellowship hardly with, and they become so recluse that they're no longer reaching out to share the good news. And many times they become really bitter and so critical you can't even hardly stand to be around them.
Yeah.
And they're so suspect of anything. They couldn't even trust, you know, anybody, because they've lost all faith, all trust in anything, period. And they become so recluse. And that's the danger, folks, when we stop witnessing. Where did God say stop witnessing to people?
Yeah, I thought that our commission was to go.
Go into all the world.
Yes.
That means
next door, too, guys.
It's an all-out war. Do as much as you can for as long as you can to as many people as you can, by all means that you can, until you cannot do it anymore.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I understand there comes a day when the line is drawn in the sand. I got that.
Yeah.
We're not there yet.
Yeah.
And that's God to determine when that happens. Until then, we must reach out.
Right.
You know, I live in an area where there are a lot of people who live in a very old-fashioned way. You know, the Amish, the Mennonites, and everything like that. And they are fantastic people, great neighbors to have. And they'll help you with anything. But in the older communities where they don't do any and no electricity or no, you know, don't do no vehicles, only horse and buggies or whatever, it's great. But the problem is they don't ever outreach.
Mm.
They're very recluse to
themselves. So are they going to eventually just die out?
I know. I guess as long as they keep having children.
Well, yeah.
But, and I'm not judging their lifestyle, but I've always wondered, and I've talked to my friends, you know, family from those communities. I said, well, what about the outreach? And they said, well, they would just say that their life is kind of an outreach. But, folks, you've got to tell people about it. And I don't mean to separate them out because they're good people.
Yeah.
But if we don't share the word, you will dry up in your life.
Yes.
See, if you're wondering today, I can't seem to have a breakthrough with God. I can't seem to get anywhere with God. Well, then I ask you, are you honestly spending time alone in God in prayer? And are you honestly, I mean honestly, reaching out to other people and sharing this good news? You know, it's funny that a lot of people think that this is the test or that's the test or whether I obeyed this or whether I had this, whatever is the test. You know, it's interesting that actually one of the tests is in Matthew 25 at the end of time. Did you take care of those who couldn't take care of themselves? Did you visit the sick? Did you visit those in prison? And, you know, and we got all those that said, well, Lord, didn't I cast out, you know, devils in thy name and do all these things and wonder in thy name? Yeah, but you know what? You can do wonderful things in the name of Jesus because it's powerful. And yeah, you can cast out devils because it's a powerful name. But if you're not reaching out, if you're not helping the helpless, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Because that's not according to what God wants us to do. He's saying here, I want you to reach out, find those empty vessels. And then in verse 7, this is awesome. It says, then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. Hallelujah. So here is the interesting thing. This woman is broke. She's got nothing to pay her debt. We're broke. We cannot pay our debt in of ourselves.
Right.
Here the bondman was coming. Here the man was coming, the creditor, for her sons. But instead of God taking our children, he sends his only son.
Yes.
And he talks about how to be close to him. And so his son pays the price for the debt. He pays our price for that. What we deserve to be slaves for our own mess ups in life. God pays it. And he says, this is the way you can have a walk with me. But not only did he pay it good enough, he says, go and sell it, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. There was not only just enough oil to pay what she owed.
Right.
The sacrifice of Jesus was just not only good enough to pay your debt of sin.
Yes.
But the scholars believe that there was enough oil here for her to live on for the rest of her life.
My goodness.
Not only was the sacrifice of Jesus good enough to pay the debt, but it's enough to live on for the rest of your life. It's good enough, and God has enough for all of us to be there, to make it to the very end. God's made every provision, but there's so many believers that are so dried up, and they refuse to get down. Folks, the devil wants to distract you, but you know what? Get in there, open that prayer closet up, and say, you know what? I don't care if I'm just sitting here. I am getting alone with God. Folks, just get in there. Don't, if you can't pray, just say, God, I can't pray. I'm distracted. Just be open with him, but just do something. Get alone, and he will change your life and change your heart. See, the world is searching for the oil that works on the fleshly, that works on the carnal, what can give us temporary satisfaction by powering our electricity, powering our cars, and doing all this. And they're worried always what's going on with the world. But the problem is that the oil that comes from the ground cannot sustain us. But the oil from the Holy Spirit, that's what the world truly needs. Folks, there is an oil crisis going on. But it's in the church.
Yes.
It's in the church. It's in the body of believers. See, this oil, though, that God is willing to give, it doesn't cost $100, $150 a barrel, or even $25 a barrel. This oil was paid for when Jesus laid down his life, pay your debt of sin, so that you could be a productive servant in his army to reach the lost for these last days. And the Bible says that God wants to fill us with the oil of gladness, the Bible calls it. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit. It is the joy of the Lord. And I ask you one question. Why are you not partaking in it? Why aren't you tapping into God's oil reserve tonight? God's created this reserve of oil so great, so that no matter how bad you're in, no matter what place you are at, it will never, you will never find the bottom. If you will reach out into this oil reserve, there will always be something for you to tap into, because it will never run dry.
Amen.
It has the ability and the power to do that which the world can never do, in such a way that you will become a burning light of God's glory unto everyone that you come into contact with.
Amen.
Because it will no longer be you, but it will be the Lord. Isn't that what God wanted us? Isn't that what God wanted us to be? We want to be lights unto the world through Jesus who lives in us. And folks, when you're filled with the Spirit, people will take notice that something's different about you.
Yes.
I want to read a story. Happened back in the 1800s. A man named Charles Finney, you may have heard of him before. While Charles Finney was in Utica, he had been invited to preach at a local schoolhouse. And upon noticing the effect that he had had on some of the young people that worked at a local cotton factory, Mr. Finney decided that he was going to go make a visit. The next morning after breakfast, Charles Finney said, "I went into the factory to look through it. As I went through it, I observed that there was a good deal of agitation among those who were busy at their looms and their mules and other implements of work. On passing through one of the apartments, there were a great number of young women that were attending to their weaving. I observed a couple of them eyeing me and speaking very earnestly to each other, and I could see that they were a good deal agitated, although they both laughed. I went slowly toward them. They saw me coming and were evidently much more excited. One of them was trying to mend a broken thread, and I observed that her hands trembled so that she could not even mend it. I approached slowly, looking on each side at the machinery as I passed, but observed that this girl grew more and more agitated and could not proceed with her work. When I came within 8 or 10 feet of her, I looked solemnly at her. She observed it and was quite overcome and sunk down and burst into tears. The impression caught almost like powder, and in a few moments, nearly all in the room were in tears. This feeling spread through the factory. Mr. W., the owner of the establishment, was present, and seeing the state of things, he said to the superintendent, "Stop the mill. Let the people attend to religion, for it is more important that our souls should be saved than this factory to run." The gate was immediately shut down. The factory was stopped. "But where should we assemble?" they said. The superintendent suggested that the mule room was large, and the mules being run up, we could assemble there. We did so, and a more powerful meeting I scarcely ever attended. It went on with great power. The building was large and had many people in it from the garret to the cellar. The revival went through the mill with astonishing power, and in the course of a few days, nearly all in the mill were hopefully converted. Charles Finney had tapped God's oil reserve. This man was so filled with the Spirit of God that his sight coming in there caused people to repent. There's a famous story of him passing through a train station on the train, and the people in the train station, as his train passed through, literally began to break down and weep. This man was so filled with the God Spirit. And I am convinced, folks, that if we don't seek for God's indwelling of this Spirit in these last days, that we won't make it. We must be emptied first. God cannot fill our vessels if we are filled with the cares and the desires of this world. We must be prepared to receive this infilling, but we must be willing to be emptied.
Yes.
And folks, emptying sometimes seems like the hardest thing to do because we're so filled up. So what do? Where do we go from here? How do we empty out so that God can fill us? Well, we talked about it the other week. It's through prayer and fasting.
Yes.
I know I mentioned it the other week about fasting. But do you remember there came a day when they came to Jesus and they said, you know, the disciples of John fast, but your disciples don't fast.
Right.
They said, well, how can you fast when you're with the bridegroom, right?
Yeah.
But there'll come a day when the bridegroom shall be taken away, and then they shall fast. Huh. Folks, fasting is not just a nice, pretty suggestion that God says.
Right.
It's a command to the New Testament, as it was with the Old Testament believers,
right,
to empty ourselves before God. Right. To say, Lord, this human fleshly food cannot sustain me. Lord, I must have something from you. I can't make it on the flesh of this world. The food of this world is not enough. I must have something more, God. I must have you. And when you begin to fast and pray and build your prayer closets and spend quality time with God, I'm telling you, folks, He will begin to pour out that oil,
yes,
of the Holy Spirit. You must then go out and share it with somebody.
Yes.
Now, I want to address one other thing, though. Sometimes we try to get perfect before we go out.
True.
I mean, you know that feeling, like you kind of feel like I can't go out because I'm not living right enough yet.
Right.
Folks, I would like to suggest this to you. Jesus sent the disciples out a mess.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to do a program on that.
Yeah. They were a mess.
Yeah.
Completely. And he sent them out.
Matthew was pretty much a backslider, and he was a thief, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. We have a lot of problems. He sent them out. But when they got filled with the Spirit and they went out too, oh, man, the world got shook. Folks, you've got to go out too. You can't only just wait until you're perfectly perfect with God. Begin to share. You've got to go out. God sometimes uses us in spite of ourselves. But so many people try to get perfect and they listen to the lies of the devil and they try to sit around and not witness at all. Folks, as we begin to fast and pray and see God, we got to start praying for opportunities to share this word with people.
Right.
Because time is too short. God says, come, let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, thou shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. God is wanting to pour out his latter rain spirit upon his people to finish and fight this battle for the last days.
Yeah. Yes.
Folks, the Remnant Call is not just a program to be here to try to talk about all of today's current events. We will talk about them. We're starting to look at, you know, reaching out more and to some other bring some more types of programming in here. But the core of this program, by God's grace, will always be about the believer getting closer to the Lord.
That's what it's all about.
Because you can die full of knowledge.
That's true.
There are so many people out here. There are so many programs, and they're talking about so many things. And folks, some of them might be relevant. But at the end of the day, whether there's giants on the earth, star portals out there, or whether there's, whatever things, UFO invasions, whatever it might be,
so much
angel wars, whatever, you can hear everything. And I'm not trying to be critical, because some things are very relevant. It is that if you are not focused on Jesus Christ,
that's right,
you will not make it. And God's saying, I got everything you need to make it. I've laid it out. The entire plan of salvation is right there in 2 Kings.
That's right.
Chapter 4, verses 1 through 7.
That's right.
Savior paid the price. And it's good enough for you to live for a lifetime on. That, folks, is the Rhema word. It's the Rhema. It's the deep thing of God. Folks, when God reveals to you things in his word, man, they're exciting.
Yes.
And he reveals things when he sees those who earnestly and diligently seek him. He loves to reward them.
Yes.
When I go to Africa, and hopefully I will have a friend going with me this year. I haven't reached out another friend. I'd love to take them both. We'll see.
Yeah.
But hopefully Todd will be going here, and maybe one other friend to Africa. But when I'm in Africa, and I could, walking around in the mountains, sweating my hind end off. I mean, it's hot out there. And these people, they're so dirt poor. They got absolutely nothing. I mean, they are so poor. They make the homeless in America look rich, okay? These people are poor. Yet they always dress up their best for God.
Right.
And I just, their level of respect for the believers are just so amazing for God. Sometimes I feel we're so disrespectful in the U.S. towards God.
Yes.
It's not about what you wear, but give God your best when you can. Yes. If your best is a pair of holy jeans, then that's your best.
Yeah.
But these people always, so I wear my suit, so I go with them in there. We're heading up through the mountains, and we're seeing things, we're crying, we're weeping tears, we're visiting with people, we're sharing the good news, I'm preaching and doing all these things, and when I'm in those battles and I'm having to pray because I can't make it without God, I never ever worry about my walk with the Lord. Because I'm in the battle.
Yes.
When you get out of the battle,
oof,
you begin to question. You begin to ponder. I'm not really walking right with the God. But when you're in the battle and you're in prayer and you're seeking God, you don't sit there and wonder every day, am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I in? Am I out? I mean,
yeah.
People go through all kinds of stuff in their minds trying to psych themselves out.
You're on the front lines.
Because they're not immersed in the work.
Right.
But when you're immersed in the work, and if maybe the only thing you can do is pray, maybe you can't get out, maybe you're disabled, maybe you don't have the way, but you know what? You can pray.
Hmm.
You can pray. The front line cannot exist without the rear support.
Amen.
If you've ever been in the military, you'll know what I'm talking about. The front line cannot exist without the rear support. We need people praying in the rear. We need people on the front lines. We need everybody. And God's saying, I've got a special blessing of an indwelling of the oil of the Spirit of the living God for the believers waiting to be tapped. And the church is not grabbing hold of it.
Yeah.
Folks, find your prayer closets. If you don't have a closet, find somewhere to get alone with God.
Amen.
It's not about the closet. It's about getting into a private place with the Lord.
Go to your car. Go somewhere where there's no distractions. I think that's the biggest thing, where there's no distractions.
Through the day, I talk to God and everything. Folks, that's great. That's wonderful.
That's cute.
That's cute, yes. It does do good. It's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. Sing spiritual songs, do that. But if you don't spend quality alone time, you're going to wonder why you're drying up.
Yeah. Very true.
I remember that video from, was it Paul Washer, on prayer. I remember we watched about the men and women through history, doing that research on them. They all had one thing in common. Even though their beliefs had varied somewhat,
right?
You know, but they all had one thing in common, these great men and women through history. They all spent time alone with God.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I think it was, it wasn't Paul Washer. I think. Was it Paul Washer?
It was. You sure? It was on prayer.
Okay.
And they all spent time alone with God. Things will never change. Folks, we're going to do a program on biblical revival coming up soon. We're going to go through all the Bible revivals, and we're going to find out they all happened the same way almost.
You know, I believe Leonard Ravenhill did something very similar.
Yeah, he had some other stuff too.
Yeah.
The thing is what I'm trying to say is there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
It's not about a formula. It's not about praying the prayer of Jabez, okay? It's not about, you know, five ways to a better you and all that stuff. It is about spending time alone with God.
Right.
And in his word, in prayer and fasting and immersing yourself in getting under the wings of the Messiah. See, the woman that had the issue of blood, she suffered for 12 years, I believe it was. But she knew the scriptures. She knew the scriptures.
Mm.
And because she knew the scriptures, the day that Jesus came through town, the Bible said that she reached out and touched the hem of her garment, and Jesus knew someone had touched him because she believed the prophecy that if this man was who he said he was, according to the word of God, he would have healing in his wings, in the hem of his garment. Because she knew the word, because she knew and had a relationship, she knew that she needed to reach out and touch. And that faith of that woman touching the hem of the Savior
healed her.
Healed her instantly.
It had nothing to do with the garment.
That's right. What did he say? Thy faith?
Thy faith had made you whole.
Absolutely. It wasn't just only touching the garment, but it was believing when you were touching.
Right.
That only comes if you know the one who you serve.
Right. See, these illustrations are so marvelous because he knows we humans are so tangible. He has to relate this to something, but he has to reveal also that it's not the tangible that's saving you. It's your faith. That's something you can't touch. That's something you can't see at all. But it's all about faith. Praise God. And we have to pray for faith. Because it's something that can easily be wavered if we're not, as you said before, in the battle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, folks, as we begin to wrap up the program tonight, tapping the oil reserves. Folks, I was thinking what to do tonight. I don't have something always glamorous. You know, some secret, hidden, new thing to share with you.
Yeah.
What I'm sharing with you is what's been in the Word all along.
Right.
The foundational principles. Get alone with God and reach out to other people. And I guarantee you, your life will change. Todd, we got about a minute left. Could you just close us up in prayer?
Yes, definitely. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son. Thank you, Lord, for making it possible for us to receive a blessing, to receive a payment, to keep us out of the bondage of death, Lord, for the sins that we should die for, but you sent your Son to do it for us. We should be the ones paying this price, Lord, but you made it possible so we could cash in on a check that no one else could write.
Mm.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we need something else from you, Lord. We need faith. Lord, we need more than that. We need strength. Lord, we need more than that. We need you to grab us by the hands and lead us. Because no matter how marvelous your gift was, we are too blind to see it most of the times. Lord God, thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. And please bless all those around us and help us to be a blessing always. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good night, brothers and sisters, and shalom.